This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, September 8th. I'm Audrey McCabe. Montrose County Commissioner Sue Hansen stepped down on August 31st after 8 years of service. That left the District 2 seat vacant, so the vacancy committee appointed Karen Gibson to finish out Hansen's term, which lasts through the end of the year. And Gibson will stay on board beyond that, as she's running unopposed for the District 2 seat in November's election. Following Gibson's appointment on September 3rd, Montrose County Clerk and Recorder Tressa Gines administered the oath of office, officially beginning Gibson's service as District 2 Commissioner. A formal ceremonial swearing-in will also take place during the Montrose Board of County Commissioners meeting on Wednesday, September 16th at 9 a.m. A press release from the county says that Gibson is a lifelong Montrose County resident, fifth-generation member of a local farming family, and longtime public servant. Her family homesteaded in the Pea Green area west of Olathe, and she grew up working on her family's dairy farm. Today, Gibson and her husband, John, own and operate Rocking W Cheese and Webb Dairy outside of Olathe. Gibson brings more than 40 years of experience in public education and organizational leadership. She most recently served for 15 years as the superintendent of Delta County School District. The release also states that Gibson plans to focus on responsible and transparent budgeting, local control, and thoughtful growth and land use planning. She also hopes to advocate for agriculture and water while working to preserve Montrose County's rural character and resources. The San Miguel County Sheriff's Office confirmed that two individuals died in a single-engine aircraft on Thursday. A Cessna 206 carrying two men crashed on the north side of Dolores Peak, approximately 15 miles southwest of Telluride. The aircraft was reported missing by Denver Air Traffic Control to sheriff's dispatchers at 3:43 p.m., just minutes after a concerned citizen reported seeing smoke in the area of Dolores Peak. The aircraft had taken off from Grand Junction after refueling and was conducting survey and mapping operations. It wasn't just the sheriff's office that responded. Search and Rescue, Telluride Fire, Bureau of Land Management, the Division of Fire Prevention, and CareFlight were all involved. The National Transportation Safety Board is now conducting an investigation into the crash. An unusual pattern of deaths among elk in Nevada has triggered an investigation by researchers, and what they discover could inform conversations about wildlife health in general. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Bradle has more.
For more than a decade, female elk in northern Nevada have been mysteriously dying each spring. In some years, up to 30% of collared elk. University of Nevada Reno researcher Ava Window says it's puzzling that it's happening in spring.
That's when there's the most forage available to them. That's when they're having their calves. That's when the males are growing their antlers. And so this is like usually a really good time for them. And the fact that this is when they're dying is very unusual.
Window says the elk often appear healthy before suddenly dying. Her team has found heart damage and low copper levels. Researchers are studying plants, soils, and elk diets to understand why. They say figuring out what's happening in Nevada could help them better understand elk health across the West. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
For over a century, cowboys have relied on miles of barbed wire fence to move cattle across pastures. But now, they can control herds by satellite-powered collars. That's taking work off the plate of the modern rancher, and in the long run, saving money. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KHOL's Jenna McCurdy reports from Wyoming on the first ranch in the Tetons to use the technology.
Large buttes frame miles of grassy pasture on the first right out of Jackson on Highway 22. Pockets of cottonwoods sprinkle the valley floor. In the distance, the summit of the Grand Teton pokes out. The area is home to the Meade family ranch, where six generations of ranchers have stewarded land since 1906.
These are Black Angus. They have some of our bulls, like that one with the white belly. He's got some Simmental in them.
Most recently, that includes Kate Meade and her husband, Brad.
So they're like, move us, move us.
Together, the couple and their adult kids keep the ranch up and running for a small-scale beef business. That includes their son, Sam, who recently ran for the GOP Senate nomination but lost in the primary. Today, Kate's driving around on a four-wheeler checking in on the ranch's 50-plus steers. They'll go to slaughter once they're finished.
You know, if you look at their flank, and their flank is nicely developed, you know, they're ready to go.
Meade beef products can be found at a local boutique butcher or on a high-end menu. But to get there, small-scale ranching like this takes a lot of work. moving hundreds of cows several times a year.
And when they're getting off the truck, they like look around like, we're home! It's very funny.
Aww. The annual ritual used to mean setting up and taking down miles of fence when the cows leave for temporary grazing leases in the nearby Grosvenor foothills.
Our boys used to, I'd say, go, you know, we need you to work on the fence up here. And they go, it's an antique. How the hell are we going to keep that fence?
That work involves blocking off some pastures every few days for small area grazing with layers of fence. But this year, it looks different and takes a lot less time.
Now this is our west field, and for the first time last year, we grazed this entirely using halters.
She says Halter, a New Zealand-based company that sells collars for cattle that are connected to a virtual fence. From her kitchen table, Mead explains that as long as there's Wi-Fi, the Meads can move the cow's boundaries by the tap of a phone, instead of setting up and taking down new fences each time.
They have an audio deal that comes on and goes beep, beep, beep if they get too close to what's the fence, the virtual fence. And then ultimately, if they continue, it'll give them a small shock.
Theo Boma works at Halter, where he's advertising the latest use of Starlink's satellite internet as a cheaper entryway to virtual fencing. Halter was the first to launch the option in April. Now, costlier cell towers won't be needed in virtual fencing.
Is even if you're a ranch on some really remote Bearlin land, no cell service at all, you are able to put these collars on your cows. It's really opened up any terrain in any part of the US.
And it's not just the Meads getting on board. While they'll be one of the state's first to use the satellite-powered option.
Even when I just look at Wyoming and Montana alone, we're talking hundreds of ranches coming live this year on top of the hundreds of ranches that are already live. By the end of this year, there's going to be some really pretty crazy, you know, amount of cows collared and customers within just those two states.
After the upfront cost, satellite virtual fencing becomes cheaper than the cell tower option or traditional fencing. The towers cost several grand each. Installing a mile of fence can be upwards of $30,000. Plus, satellite also cuts labor costs. The Meads pay a per cow subscription to rent the collars.
I think for 2 years, $62 a year per cow will go up to $92.
They'll still need exterior fences, but by being one of the first, they could usher in a wave of more users, according to Jim Magagna, the president of the Wyoming Stock Growers Association.
One of the things as ranchers we don't do, we don't immediately jump on every new technology that comes along because a lot of those have to be more widely tested.
The Meads have already noticed some subtle pushback. The family's manager at their Thermopolis area ranch has taken some heat for making the switch.
Travis is getting a lot of flack from the guys who consider themselves real cowboys. They're like, they're just trying to get rid of cowboys.
Although the technology was first met with skepticism, interest is growing. Some just needed to get past the fear of the unknown.
It's becoming more and more difficult today to find cowboys when you need labor on your ranch. Find experienced cowboys who really know how to do that work. I think I can see this as becoming not a total replacement for that, but helping to reduce the pressure.
Kate and Brad will have to slow down soon. For families like theirs, figuring out ranch succession plans, virtual fencing makes the lifestyle more appealing. More time to spend with family, or simply go out to dinner.
I think it's, can be a game changer for that older generation rancher, which Brad and I are now.
The next generation can have more balance in a field where work can be all-consuming. For KHOL, I'm Jenna McMurtry.
That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Over the past few weeks, we've seen some significant changes in Montra's leadership. KVNF's Brody Wilson and I will break down the latest expected departures, unexpected resignations, and mutual separations during a live episode of our weekly public affairs show, Local Motion, tonight at 5 p.m. If you can't tune in, it'll be available online and will air again on Saturday at 10 a.m. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, September 8th. I'm Audrey McCabe.